Psalm 3 tonight. There is an outline there. It's going to be part 1. That way we don't spend the whole night studying. We get to praying. Amen. That's a good thing to do as well. Psalm 3. And the title is this: How to Be Victorious. How to Be Victorious in Times of Distress. Times of Distress. So this is good, because this is a psalm of lament, and this is a psalm that we identify with very easily. So let's read it, and then I'll get into the introductory material, and then we'll get into our outline tonight. Probably just look at the first 3 verses, I believe. I think the first 3 tonight, and then we'll finish it up, Lord willing, next week. Yes, next week will be good. Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. Many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God, Selah. But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory, and the lifter up of mine head. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill, Selah. I laid me down and slept. I awaked, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against me round about. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for thou hast smitten all mine enemies upon the cheekbone. Thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Thy blessing is upon thy people, Selah. Let's pray. Father, tonight, we thank you for this opportunity to open the scriptures. We pray, Lord, for the leadership of the Holy Spirit in our hearts and our minds. Lord, help us to receive that which you have for us tonight. Father, we thank you for these Psalms of David and how much they mean to us as we identify with everything that he went through in his life. Lord, all of us probably have gone through these things in our own lives. And so, Father, help us tonight to learn how to walk that path of victory, even in times of distress, in times of difficulty in our lives. Father, we know you want to be with us. You want to deliver us. You want to help us in all of our needs. So, Father, teach us to trust you more. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to shut this down over here. So when you consider the first 3 Psalms, we looked at Psalm 1 and we said that Psalm 1 is called a psalm of wisdom. We finished up last week Psalm 2 and we said that is a royal psalm. Now Psalm 3, this is the first psalm of lament to the Lord. Lament. Wisdom psalms instruct us according to God's will. Royal psalms portray Jesus Christ as sovereign ruler, as we saw in Psalm 2. Now in this psalm, this psalm of lament expresses the need for God's deliverance, for God's help. Isn't that why it's recommended, you know, when you're going through difficulties, open the book of Psalms and start reading? God can minister unto your heart. And to many of us, the Psalms of Lament are the most precious of all, because in the darkest hours of our lives, we identify with them and even quote them in our prayers. And these Psalms teach us to take our burdens, our fears, our questions, and even complaints to the Lord. You see, God wants us to share everything. He wants us to handle everything we face. And we understand this as we sung tonight, on the solid rock I stand, amen. All other ground is sinking sand, especially in Houston. It's sinking marshland. But let's understand this. God is big enough, God is strong enough that He can handle everything we throw at Him, our frustrations, our hopelessness, and even our anger. The Psalms of Lament encourage us to call upon the Creator and judge. Isn't that what he's saying here? He's calling on God, the Creator and Judge of the universe. God loves us so much that He gives us this liberty to dump all of our emotions and of our hearts at His holy, omnipotent throne. Go to the New Testament there, Hebrews 4. Keep your hand here. You know this passage well. This is our invitation, amen. Because Jesus is at the right hand of God, we have a high priest. And it tells us about our high priest here. What is Jesus doing? What does Jesus want from us? It says in verse 15, "For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities." And I know we don't speak like that. It's a double negative, and that means it's a positive, right? That means it says we have not, which cannot. That means he can, and we have. Amen. "But was in all points tempted like as we are." And I hope you understand that. There is nothing that you will go through in this life that Jesus had not already gone through victoriously. That's why he lived 33 years on this earth. "He was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin." Amen. He was victorious. "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Isn't that what we need, brethren? Mercy and grace and help. And he says, come boldly. That's an invitation. Now, what's the context of this psalm? Go back to Psalm 15. Now you go the other way. Or I said Psalm 2 Samuel 15. Sorry. 2 Samuel. You may want to still mark your psalm, or you can get back there easy enough. But 2 Samuel, remember, as you were reading the Old Testament, David had some difficulties, did he not? Especially after his sin with Bathsheba. Things started falling apart in his family. Things started falling apart in his with his children, with Absalom, as you know. And also in his kingdom. His rule, his reign. This is the backdrop of what David was going through when he wrote Psalm 3. You see, most parents would agree that life's most difficult heartaches involve their children. Can you imagine David's heart, how he felt when his own son, Absalom, rose up to destroy him and take his kingdom by force? Imagine his shame as he, the mighty king, the mighty warrior, fled Jerusalem barefoot and weeping. That's where we pick up our text here. David went up by the ascent
of Mount Olivet. Interesting there. And wept as he went up. Had his head covered, and he went barefoot. And all the people that were with him covered every man his head, and they went up weeping as they went. And remember, you had, I think it's Shimei, or I didn't read the whole story again, but you have people, you know, mocking him and as he's walking out, and this is terrible. So this is how David is feeling at this moment when he writes his psalm. How could anyone sleep in these circumstances? How could any father rest knowing that he would face his own son in battle the next day? And so I believe that when we put this all together, Psalm 3 teaches us how to be victorious even in times of distress, even when the enemies are coming after us. So how are we going to be victorious? Number one, this is your outline, lay your distress before the Lord. As we already said in the introduction, you need to lay everything before the Lord. What's the first word he cries? Lord! Lord! How are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. Many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God. You see how outnumbered he felt? How are they increased? He says in verse 1. Many are they that rise up against me. Verse 2. Many there be. So David was clearly outnumbered. Letter B. David had nowhere to turn but unto the Lord. Because think about it. His family turned against him. His nation turned against him. There was nowhere else to turn but unto the Lord. I think we need to learn that in times like these, when we sense the enemy is rising up against us or we receive a lot of opposition, we need to turn to the Lord. Go to Ephesians 6. Remember, there is a source behind the attacks. Obviously, you know, when you start having troubles, the first thing you do is you pray and say, Lord, is there any sin in my life? You know? Do I need to get right with you? What am I doing wrong here? Is there something you want to teach me? But if there's not, you get everything right and it's still being attacked. Know this, there is an enemy who wants to destroy you. And he's going to use other people, unfortunately. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not, this was true back in David's day, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. We know where this attack comes from. Ultimately, it comes from Satan. Even our apparent friends can turn against us. David's false friends claimed that God was with Absalom and was against David. They justified their treason against King David. Go back to 2 Samuel. Now Shimei, remember, a relative of King Saul, cursed David. That's what I was talking about. I was getting ahead of myself, and I did have it written down here to share with you. 2 Samuel 16, the next chapter, we read 15, part of that. Well, let's pick up the context there in verse 5. And when King David came to Bahurim, behold, thence came out a man of the family of the house of Saul, whose name was Shimei, the son of Gera. He came forth and cursed still as he came. He cast stones at David and all the servants of King David and all the people of the mighty men, all the mighty men on his right hand and on his left. And thus said Shimei when he cursed, come out, thou bloody man, thou man of Belial. And when you read that, you know, that is a wicked, you know, wicked person. Sons of Belial, it's in the Bible, it's always a negative connotation. And he says, verse 8, the Lord hath returned upon thee all the blood of the house of Saul, in whose stead thou hast reigned. And the Lord hath delivered the kingdom into the hand of Absalom thy son. And behold, thou art taken in thy mischief, because thou art a bloody man. And then, remember, the mighty man say, hey, we'll just take him out right now. And David said, no. But later he got his. Remember, God is just. Just wasn't Shimei's time. So do you see the cursing? You see how friends and family and so-called those under his rule even cursed him. The house of Saul. And then even when you face trouble, your apparent friends will begin to question your relationship with the Lord. And a lot of times, this is where we have to understand, accusations usually spring up from their heart not being right with the Lord. So what can you expect from people who are accusing you falsely? It's because they're not right with God. Now, verse 2, go back to Psalm 3. Many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God. Selah. It's amazing that David, at this very moment, uses the word Selah. This occurs 71 times in 39 Psalms. It is derived from the root word, means to lift up or raise up. It has to do also with the singing. Play louder, play stronger when it comes to the music of the Psalms. Some believe it means we're all singing to cease and reflect upon the stanza just sung. The application of reading the Psalms is to pause, reflect, meditate upon that which was just read. But it also has both meanings, because not only should you pause and reflect and meditate, but now you lift up praise or lift up your prayer to God in response to this verse you just read or the previous stanza that you sang. So David and the Holy Spirit of God wants us to pause right here after this verse and reflect upon our own distress and perhaps the hopelessness of our own situation and turn to the Lord. Will you do that right now? Selah. What are you going through? What are your troubles? What are your distresses? Pause right here and take them to the Lord in prayer. That's what he's saying. Is that not what Jesus said? Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Peter said, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. So we, if we're going to have victory, amen, we need to lay out
lay before the Lord all of our distress in prayer. Number two, you need to declare your faith in the Lord. Declare your faith in the Lord. And I think this will take us down mainly of verse 3. So there it says, right? Look at the contrast here. Many there be which save my soul. There is no help for him in God, Selah. But thou, O Lord, but, amen. But thou, O Lord. So do you see this transition from helplessness to hopefulness? Amen. A transition from darkness, one of the darkest hours, to light. And brethren, when you have overwhelming circumstances, they don't have to spell out your destruction. All you have to do, and aren't you thankful, you're not left to suffer at the merciless hands of your enemies. But thou, O Lord, but thou, O Lord, David took his eyes off the enemy and focused them on the Lord. Isn't that what we're always supposed to do? To understand we are not alone in our battles. We are not without help in our battles. Yes, there may be an insurmountable attack of the enemy, but God is with us. God is stronger. And this is his Lord Jehovah, amen, his covenant name, his faithfulness to his people is what he's saying. So David's faith, like our faith, should be based upon God's word, amen, God's promises. Remember what God said to David? He said, I'm going to have your seed sit upon the throne. God made a promise there. God made a covenant to him in 2 Samuel 7. And God told him, your throne is going to be established forever. So at that very moment, when he was going through these difficult times, he had to go back to that promise, amen. Go back to the word of God. Go back to that covenant. And this is where we must understand, and I hope everyone understands right now, you have to live above your feelings. Because our feelings will betray us. But the Word of God will never change. The promises of God never change. And that's why we must react in faith, not in feelings. It doesn't matter how you feel. God didn't change. It doesn't matter if you feel weak. God is still strong. It doesn't matter if you feel like no one's with you. God said, I am with you always. You have to rise above your feelings to the truth of God's word and get the victory. And one thing we know about God's word, he will fulfill every promise. In fact, I believe it says over and over again, God didn't let any promise, any word that he gave fall to the ground and fail. God was faithful to every one of them. And he still will be to us. Amen. It says here very clearly, verse 3, let's break it down, and that's where we'll end tonight. But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me. Amen. Aren't you thankful for that? God is our protector. What's a shield for? Protection. Who's protecting you? God.
You know what? I think this psalm can be very precious to us in the coming days ahead in our country. I don't know if you know how important this psalm may be to you. These promises may be to you in the coming days. You better understand the truth of God's word when you face distress and you face difficult circumstances. Because God wants to be your shield. God will protect you. And what are shields for? They protect us from the arrows of the enemy. Amen. And that's what God does. They receive the blows. You know, you stick that shield up and in comes all the arrows and boom, they're sticking in your shield and you're just hiding down there behind that huge shield. Amen. And that's who takes the blows. God does. If he's the shield, he takes the blows for you. Amen. Isn't this a wonderful picture of the Lord Jesus Christ? He hath borne our griefs. He carried our sorrows. He was stricken. He was smitten of God. He was afflicted, but he was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Isaiah 53. He absorbed all the impact of sin for us. Amen. He absorbed all the pain and all the punishment that should be ours. God is our shield. And then it says, God is our glory. O Lord, thou art a shield for me, my glory. David was a man of war. Think of the glory he got when he lopped off the head of Goliath. Man, everyone, David, woo! Saul had his thousands, David his 10,000s. He even ruled gloriously over God's chosen people. But on this occasion, how did he leave the city? There was no glory there, was there? His glory was stripped from him. It was turned to shame. As he suddenly fled Jerusalem, barefoot, weeping, with his head hung low. His own son was his enemy. But David at that moment recognized, God is my glory. God is my glory. You see, he's realizing God will restore the glory he once had. And he foresaw that. He was able to foresee the glory being restored to him. We are often ashamed and embarrassed and even disgraced. Family problems can cause this. Financial problems can cause this. Loss of employment, loss of position can cause this. Even in the midst of all this, if we remain faithful to the Lord, he will shower us again with his glory. Amen. But it doesn't stop there. But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory, and the lifter up of mine head. See, where are you going to get encouraged? Remember, you can read in the Psalms or throughout David's life, he encouraged himself in the Lord. Amen. He was able to get alone with God. He was able to really understand what God was doing in his life, and he could get encouragement. David declared his unwavering confidence that God would encourage him. And that's what the word lift up means. Amen?
So God will lift up our heads. God will give us the courage to face our enemies. What does that mean when he lifts up your head? Well, if you're all like this, it means that you're just kind of doom and gloom and stuck in your own problems and you don't see beyond that. But when God lifts up your head, you see beyond the circumstances. That's what he means. To get encouraged is see beyond. Lift up your head and see God and see his plan. That's why I think it's so important in these times that we live in to keep preaching the book, keep understanding God is in control. God is on the throne. God has this. No one's going to thwart the word of God and the promises of God and the plan of God in this evil, wicked world. God's in charge of everything. And you better remember that. So God can help us, amen, and encourage us, and he will. What does he do? Well, in the darkest of nights, he'll lift up your head to see him, to see himself, amen. His glory, his power, his greatness, his sufficiency for all your troubles, amen. Though David left Jerusalem with his head hung low, in shame and rejection, God would lift up his head in triumph as he marches back into Jerusalem as the king. And God will do the same to us. Amen. He will vindicate us. He will honor our faith. And he will honor our faithfulness to him. So let's stay faithful. God will reward your faith. God will reward your faithfulness. But if you turn to your feelings, you will be defeated and depressed and discouraged. Every problem you face will just take you down. But when you answer it in faith, you will be encouraged by him. He's your shield. He's your glory. He is your encourager. Amen. The last time I read the Bible, the Holy Spirit is our comforter. So if we're not getting the comfort, it's not our problem. Or it's not his problem, it's ours, amen. Because we are not lifting our hearts up to the Lord. We're not looking beyond our circumstances. We're not seeing him. We're not focused on him. So let's be encouraged tonight. I hope tonight you can really say Selah in your life. And then you can, after that, look at him and all of his promises, all of his power to and what he wants to do in your circumstance, in your difficulty, in your distress, and he will answer you. He will never fail us. Isn't that a blessing? And we learn that. When do you learn that? When life is tough. You don't learn it when everything's going great. It's when things are going difficult in our lives and we have a lot of people out to get us maybe or really falsely accusing us. That's when we can be closer to God in our lives. And he will draw close to us. That's his plan. And we're on a good path if we're right in the middle of it. Amen. So look up. He's working in your life. And he will see you through. He's faithful. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you tonight.